Recruiting never sleeps.
Yes, sir. Let's bring him in, Brian Munson.
Is this kid going to end up in Lincoln to next year wondering if he's going to play?
And neither does Brian Munson.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com.
Nebraska's looking for those bigger guys that can put on the island, play some bump and run, get physical, and really knock those guys off the route.
Mr. Munson!
He's a guy that, to me, I felt like he should have played both sides of the football.
Brian Munson, Rivals.com, HuskerOnline.com.
He had to really work to get back on Nebraska's radar, and his persistence has really paid off.
Now here's a Husker recruiting update from Brian Munson on Game Time.
We're rocking and rolling already, man.
That's right, everybody. It's Munson time. B. Munts, how you living?
I'm good, bro. How are you? Are you digging the new spot there? Are you moving in full time, or what's going on?
You know about as much as I do. I'm just. They call me, and I say, "Yep, I'll be there." And then we just let it go. We let it go from there. So yes, I'm sure they have many applicants, and they will make a great decision. And my hat is in the ring, so I guess that's all I'll leave it at.
Well, there you go. And
what could go wrong?
I want to tell Bob good luck, man. I didn't get the heads up, and it doesn't really matter. He's off to do some cool stuff, and he's obviously great in that capacity. And I've followed him from 1620 to another station outside the Omaha market, back to 1620. So I've been with him for years and years and years through cancer diagnosis and kids and everything. And I've only seen the guy twice in person, man. And I've bent over backwards for the guy. So just best of luck to him.
Yeah, he's a great kid, and he's gonna do. He'll do great. He's Nick. That kid. Yeah, he'll get it too. Yep. But the wheels keep moving, months, and radio keeps going on. Big Ten media days. Our beloved Nebraska Cornhuskers. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we go there, we had a discussion earlier, months, where we were talking about multi-sport. Do you guys on your rankings, in your top, however many it is, do you know how many of those kids are multi-sport athletes?
I typically ask all the kids that I talk to if they play multi-sport. As far as the top-rated guys and as part of the eval process of Rivals.com and any other services for that matter that I know about, I don't think it plays a factor into it. Sometimes it's referenced.
Yeah, I just think it'd be an interesting breakdown.
Yeah,
of your top 150, how many of them you think play multiple sports in high school?
I would say a majority.
Yeah, right.
It goes back to at least at some point they were multi-sport up to that point where they either had to go ahead and specialize to get over that hump, or they have been continually successful in both sports, at least to this point where they're getting recruited for both, etc. There is some sort of a line, however, where you cross over where you're not progressing in one area as much as you can because you have to do this, and that puts you in a situation where, like my son, for example, and I hate going back to him, but it's a perfect example.
No, you're good.
We specialized in the last year just because of baseball as a pitcher, open AC joint lifting is bad for a pitcher. So you're not doing the bench press. You're doing some different things to kind of keep upper body strength, but not doing straight bench press because that puts some unnecessary strain on different parts of the joint, particularly the AC joint.
Right.
So what we found, though, is when we finished up our junior year of football, we did an assessment strength-wise, and we determined we can't continue to go down the path of supporting both sports because we felt like we were too much of a need and couldn't continue to hide this overall poor strength in that area. And so there are some kids, I think, that have that more natural strengthening that kind of goes on for them, and they're blessed to have it. There's other kids that really, really have to work at it. And those really have to work at it. They'll find themselves at some point competing against themselves to be better in each sport to where all of a sudden there's like this law of attrition where you're just not going to kind of get over that hump, and you're finding yourself trying to advance in one area and you're hurting yourself in the other. And it's just, it's tough to really kind of explain, but I would say the majority of the kids that are in the top 150 for Rivals tend to be multi-sport athletes. And I think there's a lot of truth still to that point where you got to play those multiple sports to kind of keep developing overall athleticism until you can get to a point where you can really make a great decision about which sport you have the most potential or have the most love to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and the focus of our discussion more at the younger age. You know, I get it, senior year, you're going to wheel it down to one, maybe two. But it's just that having that diversity when you're younger. But that was just a topic we were talking about. I wanted to pick your brain.
Absolutely.
Big Ten Media Day is going on right now. Coach Frost, I think, nailed it at the podium. You know, he got asked the question I thought was hilarious about telling the other coaches, you better get us now. He got out of that one. But he said now, you know, to the point where we're better than we were last year, but we've got to earn it. And that is definitely what they're headed toward doing. And they're taking that kind of mindset of, we may not have to recruit outside of our program, we might have to recruit inside of our program and change some guys around to positions. A couple fellas moving from one side of the ball to the other.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You got Ethan Piper and Brent Banks, at least in the 2019 class, that were both recruited. I think at least preliminarily, the wording out, I think, of, well, Banks was an obvious. That was a... Mm-hmm. They saw him as a 3-4 defensive lineman, you know, playing the 4 technique, you know, setting that edge, because obviously from you watched the games a couple of years ago, that was definitely a need. And Banks, you know, has that kind of size to where you go ahead and put him down there and really hold that edge. But then he watched his film, you know, and it's like, damn, this kid's a really intriguing offensive lineman as mm-hmm. well, and athletic and really seemed to be able to do some great things on that side of the football. But Ethan Piper, to me, really always kind of always projected to play an offensive guard.
Yeah.
I just always saw him, and even though they would talking to him, and I always, one of my standard questions talking to him was always, where do they see you playing at? I'm like, well, you know, just kind of one of those, you know, not so clear answers. Well, I think we're going to start out here, but, you know, obviously there's a chance I'll be moving over quite soon. And he didn't care. He's incredibly talented and athletic, and that's one of those two sport guys. You know, everybody's seen him dunk a basketball and all that good stuff, and being a track guy and field, you know, doing field events. He's going to be absolutely fine. I think with Banks, you know, people got to remember Nebraska was the only school that was really evaluating him as just playing defense up to the point where he committed. So there was an assessment out there from everybody else nationally that saw him playing offensive line. I think for him to get in line with playing offensive line, I think it's a great move for him. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to, we'll be talking about somewhere down the road as being a person that's going to play a huge role for this football team playing offensive tackle.
And buddy, I mean, Piper, I know I get hooked into the videos. I try not to watch him, get overhyped about him, but Piper is country strong for a young kid coming into that program.
I tell you what, he's one of those guys, I think, that I've even put on my list about guys that get overlooked. And I said, I don't think people understand it when you take a 6'4", 300-pound-plus guy. I don't care what kind of height you got, because you got this huge disadvantage in what's called gravity and the mass that you're carrying, and you can get up and dunk a basketball with two hands. Mm-hmm. I think it just screams athleticism. And, yeah, it doesn't translate real well, but you got this guy that's athletic – and he could move around incredibly well. I think you put him into Duvall's system and see where his body kind of goes. And I think everybody, from what everybody can kind of tell everybody else and the results they're seeing, it's going to be incredible. And he's going to be one of those leaders that we're talking about, you know, playing the inside of that offensive line.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. And those transitions, you know, Frost didn't tip too many cards at the podium when he said, hey, you know, you got some spot at center and left guard you got to fill. One of the few times he didn't name any names, he said, hey, there's a lot of competition going on at those spots. You know, everybody's got holes to fill at this time of the year. But he didn't come outward and say anybody's like, hey, it's this guy here and this guy here, and they're trying to compete against that guy there and that guy there. So I thought that was kind of interesting that those two spots are still pretty wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think I think you run the risk, obviously, of having a name named in the public eye and leaving somebody out and then discouraging that person, you know, in some sort of a back channel to where they don't see that they're really part officially of the race. That is something, honestly, that people, that you don't think that people think about that or whatever. It's thought about. It's absolutely thought about. So you want to make sure that you're getting the best out of everybody, and you don't want to eliminate anybody from contention by going out there and making a silly statement right now that you didn't give much thought to. So go ahead and play the pronoun game. Or don't be specific at all. Mm-hmm. And just lay it all out there to where it's wide open, man. We got a ton of guys. You're bringing up two guys. We got six, seven, eight guys that are already there that are already battling things out. leave it there. You're done, and you go ahead and keep everything competitive out there in Lincoln right now, and nobody feels like they're out of the equation.
Yeah, Brian Muntz and Rivals joining us here on Game Time. Muntz, with this expectation and everything that comes up, the results are now to follow, but a lot of the national media on board with what Nebraska's doing, picking them to win the West. Where are you at with Nebraska and their success in the Western division of the Big Ten?
Yeah, that's a huge one. I mean, since 2011, Nebraska's never been picked to win the West by the media. You go back and you try to find a model here a little bit with Scott Frost, and the improvements that were made from year one to year two are incredibly significant when it comes to, you know, looking at UCF and try to translate it as to what you're kind of seeing, the changes in the roster at Nebraska, the continual improvement of what Nebraska is doing to improve the overall personnel, the talent level. What Martinez is going to do from year one to year two, where you think you're going to see the offensive line kind of go to from year one to year two, et cetera. And then you obviously got to look at the rest of the West. And I know that I've been reading a lot of social media, and there are a lot of disbelievers out there right now when it comes to Nebraska getting 6-1, you know, kind of odds to make the football playoffs. And there's a lot of people that are kind of laughing and scoffing at it. But I think that Nebraska is right where they need to be when it comes to having people have that mentality like, okay, prove it to me. We're disbelievers. And I think also the change in the mindset of Nebraska behind it to say, okay, now we are getting some credit for what we've done here. And I think the people realized how close they were in a lot of games that they ended up losing last year, but it could have gone either way. But now they got to go out there and finish it off and prove it. And that's kind of a mindset thing. I don't think people really kind of understand that either. You got to go out there and understand that, you know, the way, and you know this better than others, I always felt when watching the 90s teams that Nebraska didn't just get a 3 or 4 or 5 point advantage by playing at home. I felt like it was closer to double digits.
Oh yeah.
I felt like that was if you were stepping foot in Lincoln playing against Burzall and Wistrom and the Peter brothers, et cetera, there were 10 to 12 points that were already on the board in Nebraska's mm-hmm. favor because of the crowd, the atmosphere, the talent level, just the type of, you know, the mojo that team's got going. Now, with this team right here, they have to start realizing that, playing to that level. And then, of course, there becomes a challenge of just finishing. And that was also something that team had to exhibit in the days under Tom Osborne with Davison and Chevin Wiggins and Tom Osborne in Columbia. There are other games, of course, Washington State coming to visit Nebraska and Lincoln, having to go out there and finish those games, those challenges. These are the things right here that this team has got to show, that not only can they go out there and hit the ground running and take off and beat soundly some not necessarily inferior opponent, but opponent that they're supposed to beat, but go out there and take the lead early, maybe struggle through halftime adjustments, but then still go out there and finish the game. There are going to be many, many things, I think, when it comes to kind of breaking down the psychology and what's kind of going on with this team as the season goes on, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. And that they're to the point now where the physical looks good. Now you got to get into the mentality of it. Right now the mentality of it has to follow up and match what you've done in the offseason. You know, I said, yep. Hey, this is the best part, is that now you're getting another day closer to Saturdays where you get the reward for all the hard work. You know, it's the only sport where you dangle the reward a week away every week, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that stuff is always rented, man. You got to go in every single day, and you got to buy into it, and you got to prove it. What you did the day before typically doesn't matter the next day when it comes to playing football, and you need to go out there and just do it all over again. And it's a continual deal, and that's what I think Scott Frost and his team are going to have to go ahead and start dealing with, is, you know, making this perpetual, to not just getting up each week for whatever opponent is coming to Lincoln or going to Columbus to play against the Buckeyes or going to Madison to play against the Badgers. Each week should be the toughest opponent that you're training for and getting ready for and practicing for, regardless of them being an out of conference opponent that doesn't really matter a lot in the landscape, or being a possible, you know, matchup in the Big Ten championship game at some point. that's the kind of mentality it needs to be to go out there and just stomp butt just for the sake of stomping butt.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good months, be months from rivalsonline.com to get to catch up with you, but I appreciate you taking some time out of your day.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
See you, bud. Yeah, always good. It's, we got a month, more than a month, month and a half. We're just still talking about it. Let's get a preseason game. Like, hey. Just call Iowa State, but hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing, what are you doing? Hey, you want to just meet up somewhere halfway and play? It's a high school. We'll drive over, you drive over. Let's just go have a practice. See what happens. What could go wrong? Oh, so better take a break, come back, and we'll wrap up game time on 1620 The Zone.